Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. There's a lot of things going on, right? We turn on the news and we see storms, we see politics, we see people worried about the future, about finances, about the economy. And we see problems and challenges all around us, but what is our responsibility to these things? I was kind of really in my heart today and in my heart this week, and so I was reading, and I'd like to share with you a scripture for something Jesus taught, and I think this speaks to where we are today. It's in Matthew 25, 35, if you'll go with me there. It says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." I believe we have a responsibility to the world around us. We have a responsibility to, it starts with our brothers and sisters that are in the faith, right? And it continues and extends, especially to those that are new to the faith. But I don't think that it stops there. It continues to those that are yet in the faith, that God is moving on their hearts, but they haven't completely made that journey to faith yet. We can choose to be concerned about what others are going through, or we can choose not to be. And so I want to talk to you for the next couple weeks about this topic called I Care. Look at somebody and say, I care.
I care.
I believe it's important that we care. We have a responsibility to the ones we know and the ones that we don't know because we care. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 40. He said, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." What an awesome thought to think that God is looking at how we treat others, how we treat one another, and he's saying, "You're doing it like you're doing it to me." Whether someone is great or whether someone is small, how we treat them is so important if we're really trying to understand what it is to walk by faith and be a person of Christian values. We must care. You must care. I must care. Jesus said, "Where were you when I was hungry? Where were you when I was thirsty? Where were you when I was naked? Where were you when I was in a difficult place? Where were you when I was in prison? Where were you when I was sick?" The question is, do we care? I believe in our culture, a lot of times, not all the times, but a lot of times, it's easy to get callous. There's so many stories on the news. There's so many things going on. There's so many things happening in our world. There's so many challenges, even in our backyard. How do we continue to keep a heart that cares? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love each other because he loved us first." So we're seeing a model. We're seeing an example that Jesus set. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. What strong words. These are the words of Jesus. He said, if somebody says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So we understand there's this challenge. In being a Christian, there's a challenge to care for those around us, to care from those that are far from us. And we have to have a different mindset than we see in the first two brothers, right? Cain and Abel. Because at least on Cain's side, God came to him and said, "Where is your brother? What's going on with your brother?" And he said, am I my brother's keeper? Is that my business? Is that something I should be concerned with? But God was actually wanting him to be concerned about his brother. God actually wants us to be concerned. We see it in some of the first words in Genesis. What God said to Cain, where is your brother? What's going on with your brother? And we see it in the words of Jesus. He says, how are you treating? Make sure that you care. Make sure that you show concern. Make sure that you show love for your brothers and sisters. Matthew 12:48. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? In case we need to clarify this. Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. The Bible shows us we have a responsibility, and it grows and grows. Our responsibility starts with the ones directly around us, right? With your spiritual family, with your natural family, but then it continues to extend out. I believe the more that we grow in faith, the more we grow in responsibility. The more we grow in faith, the more we grow in responsibility. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he says, first in Jerusalem, then throughout Judea, then in Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. So the concept of being a Christian, the concept of the kingdom of God, the concept of being his church is, first I'm going to make sure that those around me are taken care of. Then I'm going to see who else it is that I see in my path and my journey. And I'm going to continue to extend out seeing who that I can help, who that I can show this Christian concern for. We have an immediate responsibility to believers, but we also have a dynamic responsibility to everyone else. The more we grow in God, the more our responsibility grows. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 20:28, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus' perspective on what it was to be a person of faith was, I have come here to serve others. He started with those around him, his disciples, that he brought close. He was very intentional with how he was giving himself and serving. But he also, the 72, he also was serving the multitude. And so we have to be intentional in this. First, we come to faith. When we first come to faith, we are served. The more we grow in faith, the more we serve. So when we first come to faith, we are served. There are people around us that help us. They help us grow. They help us understand what the faith is. They walk with us. They teach us. They love us. They encourage us. They pray with us. Then the more we grow in faith, the more we serve others. It can be hard to care for others when we are too busy judging them, I think. We live in a culture that judges so much, right? There's so much judging of others. And I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place to make a judgment call on what type of person that you're around, what type of quality of person, what that their intentions of that person are. But when we're first concerned so much about judging and secondly about caring, I think we're missing the point. There's a place for accountability. Yes, there's even a place for tough love. But our first instinct must be mercy and compassion. And we can see this in the image of what Jesus did, the model of Jesus' ministry upon the earth. When Jesus came, the first time Jesus came, right, he gave us mercy, grace, forgiveness, right? The second coming, right, is different, right? The second coming, they said when the Lord returns, he's going to judge the living and the dead. So the second time is more about judging the actions of people, the behavior, the choices of people. But that's a different season. This is the season of grace and mercy. So when we talk about caring, I care, we're understanding the mission of Christ, which the mission of Christ is to pour out grace and mercy and redemption. I'm not looking to disqualify someone. I'm looking to see how someone can be qualified. Jesus came to show us how we can be qualified to be sons and daughters of God. Jesus came to teach us how to care for one another. Care for your brothers. Care for your sisters. Care for your neighbors. Care for your enemies. Yeah. Even care for your enemies. The devil wants to accuse and divide. Jesus wants to forgive and unite. I'll say it again. The devil wants to accuse and divide. That's the spirit that is at work oftentimes in our culture. But the Spirit of Christ, He wants to forgive and unite. And I want to tell you, it's harder to be judgmental when you're caring for someone. When your focus is on meeting someone's needs and thinking intentionally about how you can meet those needs, it's harder to be judgmental. I didn't say it's impossible. So you can still serve somebody and be judgmental. But it's harder. It's a little bit harder to remain judgmental when you are focused on how to serve someone. What the world needs now is more people caring for the needs of others. What the world needs less of is criticism. And we are full of criticism. You can turn on whatever news, you can look on the internet. There's untold articles of people criticizing and critiquing other people. Yes, there's a time to critique things. But I think there is not enough mercy. There's not enough compassion. There's not enough care and love. The beauty of Christianity is that in our tenets of faith are just that. The teachings of Christ are just that. Even if the world didn't believe in Jesus, if they would just follow the teachings of Christ, the world would be a kinder, safer place, more civil, more lawful, more benevolent. People would care. As Christians, we have to be the model. We are meant to be the model for what civilization is supposed to look like. Right? We are modeling the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. Our prayer should be like Christ. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? We need to model what citizenship to heaven looks like. Yes, sir. What does it look like? Caring for people, compassion, civility, benevolence. As Christians, we are meant to be salt and light, the city on the hill, an example of how compassion works, an example of what it looks like to love others. John 13:35, Jesus says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." I love that. Your love will be the stamp. Your love will be the sign. Your love will be a seal. We are meant to demonstrate these important fundamentals. We should lead with caring. Lead with love. Demonstrate kindness to our culture. Demonstrate civility to our enemies. The person that you disagree with, can you still have compassion for them? Can you care? There is powerful unity that comes from compassion. When we see those in need around us and we stretch ourselves to meet those needs. When we treat others in need as important. The story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan, and he was teaching the people, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor with the same degree that you love yourself. What we focus on is important. When we focus on care and compassion, it brings people together. Even people that see things differently. When there's more care, there's concern, there's mercy, there's helping, caring for one another. But when we criticize each other, there's oftentimes a division that happens. So what do you want your focus to be? What do you want your focus to be in this season, in the next season as a Christian, as you walk this out? Care, compassion, or grading someone else's spirituality? Too often we get pulled into this, we fall into this, grading someone else's spirituality. You know what? I try not to grade when I don't have to grade. I try not to judge when there's not, it's not the moment to judge. Lead with compassion. Think of how much more we can do when we do it together. Think of how much can get done when we care. I think we should make caring our focus. I think what Jesus wants us to see today is the power of compassion and caring for others. The time for judging will come, right? We know when Christ returns, he's not returning on a donkey. He's returning on a war horse, right? But that's a different season. This is the season we have to continue the work of Christ, which is the work of mercy, compassion, and redemption, forgiveness. How much more can we do when we do it together? His mission was grace and mercy, repentance and forgiveness. As we follow in those footsteps, our main mission is grace and mercy, repentance, forgiveness. We must focus more on how we treat one another. When the Lord returns, he'll have a new mission. And we'll follow in the footsteps of that new mission. But now, until he returns, what are we to do? Grace, mercy, forgiveness, repentance. And we learn how to care. We learn how to show that we care. As a church, we have to know what season we're in. What mission we're fulfilling. Grace and mercy. Repentance, forgiveness, caring for his sheep, caring for the lost. When you know your mission, you can live at peace. You don't have to be fighting all the time. It's a time to fight, but you don't have to be fighting all the time. You can be at peace. You can operate from a place of peace. Paul said it like this in Romans 12:18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Sometimes it's unavoidable. Sometimes there's somebody spoiling for a fight. You have to defend. You have to do what you need to do. But when at all possible, live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that righteous anger for God. Understand what season you're in. He says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Or you could interpret that as when you do kindness to your enemies, you cause conviction to happen. You cause them to judge their own heart. And some of your enemies will even come to repentance. Our job is to care. To show compassion, to live in peace as much as possible. Paul says it like that. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to let people know that you disagree. As actually, we have a responsibility to let people know when we disagree. But we can do it in love. Yes, we can do it with grace. And we leave place for God to do what God does. God moves on the part. On the hearts of people. He brings conviction to people. It's our job to care. Our job to live in peace. And his job to straighten people out. There's a season for all things, Ecclesiastes tells us. There will come a time when Jesus comes back to address everyone that's doing the wrong stuff. Our job is to show that we care. Show the grace and mercy. Jesus came and opened that door for a beautiful season of grace and mercy and redemption. We are to continue the work that Jesus began. The work of grace and mercy, repentance and forgiveness. And here's a powerful thought. How many will turn to Christ when they see this level of care? When they see this type of love, not an earthly love, not something that is natural. It's supernatural to care for those that you don't know, to care for those that have been adversarial to you. How many will be drawn to God through acts of kindness? What a powerful thought. What an important responsibility. What can you do to show grace and compassion, the grace and compassion of God? What can you do to show the person of Christ to those who have not experienced Him? What act of kindness can we show to those that are far from God? What responsibility do we have individually and corporately as God's church to show we care? Will you bow your heads with me and let me pray for you? God, I thank you for touching our hearts today and letting us know how important that it is to show grace and mercy and compassion, to show that we care. God, let our hearts be moved by people the way that your heart is moved for people. God, I thank you that we can be your salt and light. We can be your city on a hill. We can touch those that are in difficult places. God, stir us up in this season to have that type of concern. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Christ today. I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. And maybe I drifted away. Maybe things got busy and I'm not where I need to be. I want to help you. I want to pray with you today because Jesus wants to reconnect with you today. If that's you, you say, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this, you can pray this. Jesus, thank you for loving me, even when I didn't know you. Even when I was far from you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And forgiving me of my sins. Giving me a fresh start. I'm sorry for the times I missed it. The times I failed and sinned. Forgive me today. Teach me how to follow you. Teach me how to walk with you. Give me the strength to live a life like you. A life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.